The Mizzy Bender Show, where no topic is off limits. Join the one and only Mizzy Bender as she talks everything sex, curiosities, fantasies, and more. Subscribe to our mailing list to receive the latest event listings and updates.
Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode. I am beyond excited because I have my bestie here, Jim, who you've heard on the podcast before, like right when the Mizzy Bender Show launched. And he's been a really important part of my journey with the podcast. And so now he's going to be coming on as a pretty permanent guest. And we're going to be talking about different topics that pertain to everything having to do with lifestyle, but giving you more of a male perspective since you really only get mine for the most part. So I wanted him to come on and do a complete like intro of who he is, what his thoughts are, and how he navigated through the lifestyle to like where we are now. And so with that intro, Jim, come on and do your thing.
Hey, everybody. So it's nice to see you, Mizzy.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me on. And before I even start, I want to say congratulations on the success of your podcast. So I'm so proud of you and so proud of what you've accomplished.
I love you.
And you should be as well.
Thank you.
So my journey in the lifestyle, I guess just like everybody else, for me, I was always a very sexual person. Growing up, like I had my first blowjob in Sunday school at 5 years old. And I'm not kidding. In Sunday school, this cute little girl, red hair, were underneath. You remember the little play school dish set? So it had the sink and it had the little place you could do your dishes and all your fake stuff.
Yes.
And it had the little cabinets underneath the sink.
Yeah.
They were so small, we both fit underneath there.
Stop it.
Yes. So I was kind of down diddling her at 5 years old, and she put me in her mouth at 5 years old.
I cannot do this.
So the first time I actually had sex, I was 11. It was one of my sister's friends, 11 years old. She was 13 or 14, something like that. But even beyond all that, like I had my first threesome with two of my managers at Burger King when I was 16.
Jesus, you are like hardcore sexual from like the womb.
From very young. So then I went through this. After high school, I traveled for 4.5 years. I started out kind of hitching around the country until I met a few people that I started to travel with consistently. But I traveled all around the country, and I was always like the third wheel in the couple that I was traveling with. I would meet girls, like we were in different cities every night, you know, different festivals and stuff like that. I would meet girls here and there, but I've never really been a very forward person. So it was always hard for me to, like, I made connections and stuff here and there, but never really anything serious. I went for a drought. When I say a drought, like for about 8 years, I was pretty much solidly single.
I thought you were going to say like celibate. I was like, no, I didn't hear this story.
No, almost.
Really?
So in that 8 years, I was only with three women. Before that, living in where I grew up, I sold pot as a freshman in high school, sold LSD as a sophomore. I got laid so much in high school, like so much. And then I went out traveling and I thought, you know, like, again, it was like I had some hookups and stuff here and there, but it wasn't really, that wasn't my goal. I had had a girl that I thought that I was going to live happily ever after with. I'd come back into town because I'm going to take her with me. And then I get a call the night before we're getting ready to leave from one of my best friends, and he's at a party that she was at saying goodbye to people. And she was in with the guy who you met, my friend that officiated our wedding.
Uh-huh.
She was in the bedroom with him having sex the night before we're getting ready to leave.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. So then literally the night I'm getting ready to go, I had asked her to marry me. I thought, I mean, it was superficial 20-year-old kid, you know, but either way, I thought we were going to go live happily ever after and start our journey out in the world and do all that. And then she shows up at my house the next morning after I got this news, and she's ready to go, car packed. And I was just like, oh, you know, I'm not doing this. I was just like, I hope you had fun with Shane. You can go back to him. By the way, she got pregnant by him afterwards. So I was very upset. She got pregnant by him. I actually came off of like from touring and stopped for a little while. and she moved in with me with her new baby, or she was pregnant with when I say one of my best friends, I've known him since I was 14 or 15 years old. He's one of my dearest friends. He lives here in Connecticut. He's the one that lived with us here, you know, my friend Warren. It's his brother. She moves in. Like, I'm just so mixed up in my head of exactly what I wanted. So she moves in with me. She stayed for a couple days, and then I woke up, or I came home after work one day with a letter on my bed, and she had left. But so at that point, I was all over the place. I was an emotional sap, whatever you want to call it. I went back out on tour and was doing my thing. And then what I did when I was on tour is I sold a lot of drugs and LSD and you know, different things. But I was very frazzled, and I just wanted some stability in my life. I was like, I'm done traveling around the country. I was actually planning on either moving to San Diego or to Portland, Oregon. Those are both places that I spent every winter in. The winter time would come, tour season would stop, and then I would go to either San Diego or to Portland, and I loved both those places. So I was planning on moving. Excuse me.
That's
I was
okay.
planning on moving there, and I called my friend Warren, and I was just venting. I was like, I'm done with the road. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to settle down and have a job. I want to come home to a place at night. And he said, well, there's a job opening in Connecticut if you want to come check it out. So I was like, yeah, what do I have to lose? Sure, I'll come check it out. So that was
Wait,
tw
had
it'd
you
be
ever
20.
gone to Connecticut in your touring?
Yes, I'd been through
Okay.
Connecticut, but literally Hartford.
Okay.
And then you go for a concert or a festival, and then you go on to the next town.
Hmm.
You know, so I'd been through Connecticut. I've been to every state in the United States, excluding Hawaii and Alaska.
That's so nuts.
I've been to several parts of Canada, and several parts of Mexico.
Okay.
Canada was a little different because I didn't have a passport, but they still let me across the border back and forth. I only went across the one time and then back, but they let me through. And on the way there, we weren't so stressed about it. But on the way back, I was terrified because everybody said I was going to be trapped in Canada. But I ended up making it. I had my drive, you know, license and everything. By the way, I didn't have my driver's license. I had an Ohio ID. But again, they still let me through.
So
But anyway.
scrappy, man.
Yeah, so but I spent a lot of time just all over the place, and then when I made it to Connecticut, I was here. I moved to Connecticut in 2004, single, had my own place, my own apartment, and I was single, and I had sex with three different women in that about 5.5 to 6 year period. One of them I shipped in from Ohio. She came in to visit. The other
Oh,
two,
wow.
they were just in proximity. Like, I'm a TV and movie junkie, so I would go to Blockbuster Video every day. I hooked up with two of the girls that worked at Blockbuster because that was my circle. I didn't go out to
Fantastic.
bars. You know, so I didn't go out. I'm not like I'm a house mouse. I'm very content. Kind of, if it wasn't for Holly, we would be at home every weekend because I'm content just kind
I
of hanging
love
out
being
doing my
home.
thing. That's just how I am. By the way, have the time of my life when I go out. But if you ask me, oh, do you want to go? Ultimately, no, I don't want to go.
Yeah,
I'd rather sit and hang out.
but I can't believe that to be true because you love your
So much
swinger
fun.
lifestyle. So
So much
it is
fun.
so conflicting.
I feel like the belle of the ball, like when we're at a mind bender party. Like, I run around, like I have such a great time, and I love my friends. But at the same time, like, I'm content kind of sitting and, you know, watching whatever this weekend and going to work next week.
Yeah, I kind of
So
feel the same exact way.
again, I love my friends, have the most amazing time. The memories that we've shared, like, I wouldn't change those
Yeah.
ever,
Yeah, no, for
ever.
real.
So this is how kind of, I guess, sheltered and naive. I always say I grew up very Duck Dynasty. I'm from Southern Ohio. I grew up very backwoods in the country, hunting. I wasn't much of a fisherman, but always in the woods, so my life was very sheltered. And I'd been in Connecticut for about 5.5 to 6 years, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were kind of making fun of me because in 2000, I guess 2007 or 2008, I still had not had an email. So they were making fun of me, like, oh, I can't believe you don't have an email address. You got to set up an email address. So sitting there at their house, we went on their computer and they set me up an email address. The first thing when I got home that I ended up using my email address for was to set up a profile on a swinger site. I had,
Put it
by
to
the way,
use.
that was the very first thing I used my email for was to make a profile. So I went on, and so this is end of 2007, beginning, 2000, right around that time, I set up my email, and I went on this swinger site. I made my profile, and at the time, I don't know, I imagine it's completely different now, but the very first girl that I emailed was at my house in 2 hours.
Oh, no way.
In 2 hours. All right. The very first initiation, me initiating any kind of conversation or whatsoever, she was at my house in 2 hours, and we were fucking that night. She spent
I
the
don't
night.
even know what to say about this.
So it blew my mind. I was like, I have been like, I had a, when I tell you I had a box of porn, I had collected so much porn before this that when I would go into the porn shop, the woman behind the counter would always be like, "Hey, I got some new stuff in for you," because she knew the stuff that I liked. Like, I went in there so much, she was like, "I got some new stuff. I think you'll be interested." And I'm like, I would be embarrassed because I'm like, "Yeah," and then I would go and look, and it was all the shit that I'm like, "Oh, this is, she knows me.
Fantastic.
Like, this is great." So I, by the way, this box of porn,
You
when
still have
Holly
it?
and I, no, I, so when Holly and I moved, we lived in, when I first got with Holly, she lived in Navy housing. Navy housing, they would rent houses out to civilians when they had, had a bunch of them open. So, and this is all a bunch of kids in the neighborhood. It's a bunch of Navy families. And when I moved, when we moved out of there, I had this big giant cardboard box that had, and I'm not kidding, probably had about 70 to 80 different porn videos in it, of all kinds of different kinds. And I had wrote on the box, "Porn DVDs," and put it out on the curb when we pulled out in the U-Haul.
I wonder how fast it took. It went
I
like
have no idea. I have no
how.
idea. I just always remember myself like a score like that would have changed my life as a kid. Like I remember walking through the woods and finding a backpack with a bunch of sticky paged porn magazines, and I thought these were the Holy Grail.
I wonder though, like at that point in time, were people still watching DVDs? Or.
I what the reason I was leaving them there is because I had a smartphone at this time.
Right, yeah.
So no, but
Migrated. Yeah.
I imagine, like, imagine you're a young, impressionable teen, male or female, who cares? Like, I remember, as a kid, girls were just into porn just as much as I was.
Yeah.
So I mean, you find this box of hardcore porn, it's gonna change your life. Like, you got a PlayStation at home, go throw that shit in.
I cannot even with this. This is really funny.
So I left that sitting on the edge of the driveway as we left. But anyway, so when I set up my profile, the first girl that came over, or the first girl that I messaged, she was over at my house within 2 hours. Like I said, blew my mind. I was completely from always wanting to have sex but not being able to go out and get it because I wasn't an out I wasn't going to go to a bar by myself. I was, it's just not, it wasn't my scene.
Yeah.
So I go on the, now Holly always says what set me apart is I'm one of those people that like when there's something that you want to do, you have to commit. If you
Yeah.
don't commit, then you're just half-assing it, you're not going to go for it. So I was like, you know what, I want some sex. I'm looking at all these profiles on here and all these guy profiles. It's nothing out of 100 profiles that I would look at, 90 of them would be just a dick pic or a torso pic. And I was all like, I'll put dick pics in my profile, but my main profile pic was me. By the way, me, I had a V-neck that was real low cut, super douchey, half grin smile. I like the worst, douchiest profile pic you
Listen,
could
I'm just gonna say it's like your
have.
classic look. It's not douchebag. It's not douchey.
Oh,
It's
my
just,
classic look is douche. So
no, that's why I don't understand why you explain it this way.
it was the I but it was a face pic. And then if you went through my profile, there was other face pics through there. Yeah, there were some dick pics and a couple, jerk videos, whatever you want to, look at. It was all there. But as far as my profile, it's
What dating app was this that you had? Because like,
Adult Friend Finder.
wow, and you were able to put all those kinds of stuff in that.
Every oh, you can do
Whoa.
everything.
Oh, I didn't
Everything.
know
Like, it's
that.
all like you can do everything in Adult Friend. You can send it all, like
Oh, I didn't know that.
videos, like so. And at the time, as a single male, with my own place. And you gotta imagine you're a woman and you're like, I wanna have sex, but now I'm going through, and it's like looking through 100 different dicks and trying to decide which one you want. And then you're like, so, and then by the way, you would go and look into these profiles and it'd be nothing but dick pics. You wouldn't
Right.
know what the person would look like at all.
That's so weird. Yeah.
Why are you gonna wanna go fuck just a, you know, why are you gonna initiate a conversation as a single female with just a dick pic?
Yeah, right. I don't get that.
So I never understood it either. So I put my profile pic was me leaning up against the wall with a douchey little half grin smile, and it worked. Like I would get so I don't want to make it sound like I'm bragging, but I will brag because if someone were telling me the story, I would be, you know, astounded too.
You shine on, man.
Because I can't imagine it would be like that now. So it's not, this is then. At that time, I had a different female for every night of the week. I hooked up with couples constantly. Like, so, like every weekend, I would have a couple. And by the way, I drove a work truck that I couldn't take out anywhere. So they would come pick me up and take me to a hotel
No
so that I
shit.
could fuck his wife.
That's
And
fantastic.
by the way, I wasn't like, I wasn't like some big bull or anything like that. It was just, you know, if people were looking for someone to come and hook up with, they didn't want to have to go through a million different dick pics to find out someone that they were attracted to.
Right.
I was having sex so much that I would have to cancel dates because I had TV shows and video games that I wanted to
I
play
cannot
and I didn't
even.
have
I
time.
wouldn't even be able to keep up with that much sex.
It was so much. It was, when I tell you it was so much, like I had this one girl, she would tell me she's going to be over, like she worked nights and she would show up at my house before I would have to get up for work in the morning. She would fuck me. She would sleep in my bed. And then, you know, I would leave the key in the mailbox. She would come in. She would crawl into bed with me. She would fuck me. She would pass out. I'd get up and go to work. And by the evening, I would have a different girl over there.
I would not have been able to keep up with anything like that. Not at all. I mean, didn't your penis get tired?
It did. Like it's funny.
Right.
My dick would be sore from being swollen so much.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine.
And me, and you know me, like I'm a performer. I'm gonna get out there and do my best.
Yeah.
So when these girls are coming over, I'm doing my best.
You got your best A game in going
I want to
there.
make sure that everybody's, you know, getting their groove on and everybody's happy. So then one day. I, by the way, that was my introduction to swinging, but at the time, I never considered myself a swinger.
Yeah.
And at the time, I don't think anybody could have considered me a swinger. I
Yeah.
may have hooked up with some swinging couples, but I was hooking up as a single male.
Doing your thing.
Male.
And do you think that since it was so easy for you to get, chicks to come over, that you like instantly fell in love with that whole
I got
mindset of it
addicted.
because you did not have it for such a long time?
I got addicted. It
Yeah.
became the focal point of my entire day.
Yeah.
It was like my work was slacking because in between my work stops, I was going online to respond to emails or to text a girl that I had been chatting with to, you know, to work things out with. So it became like work was something that got in the way of my sex life.
Right. That's yes. So that is a little too much.
Yeah, it was, but for not having it for so long, and then like when I say 2 hours after the first girl that I messaged was at my house and we were fucking, it was such you know, it was such a 180 for me. Like it literally it flipped right around and I started to get laid all the time.
Did that also help your confidence too? Not that, not your confidence, but your like, how you were saying that you're like not so like outgoing in whatever those circumstances are. Did that help with that? Because
It didn't.
no.
It didn't. Yeah, it didn't make a bit of difference in any of that. Like in any social, you know, outing or anything that I was in whatsoever, any social
Because it
situation,
was so
I was
personal at
still,
home.
yeah, exactly. It
Yeah.
was just me and this girl, and then it was over when she would leave. I never put any feelings into it. It wasn't anything, you know, no emotions. It was we would fuck. By the way, we would fuck, we would shower. That's what all the girls liked about me. They're like, I don't know. She's like, you always have me get in the shower after we have sex. I'm like, well, that's because I'm getting in. I thought maybe you would want to get in too, but because you're
Right.
filthy and sweaty now. Then one day, again, I'd been doing all this fucking, so now I'm about 2.5 years in. I'd been doing this for 2.5 years, never made any serious connections. And then I was venting to a friend. I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm ready to settle down. I want, I don't even know where I go to find a girl now. Like all the girls that I'm seeing, all it is sex, and they go about their life. That's what they like about me. I essentially felt like a hooker that wasn't getting paid, because these girls would come over, because, and that's all it was, is I had my own place and could host every night. So it was like they were like, oh, I can just go get laid and go back to my kids or go home, whatever it may be.
So easy, very transactional.
Without a monetary value, very, very transactional. Let's get these sexual feelings out, and then you go, let's get this dopamine hit, and then you go about your business. So I was ready to kind of stop. I was like, I don't know where I go to find an actual life partner, but I don't, I'm realizing that a sex site wasn't the place to find it. And then one day, oh, by the way, I wanted to stop. I was addicted. I wasn't stopping. It was just, it was a fleeting thought that like I need to get away from all this because it's not doing me any good. So then now it's 2010, maybe 2011, right around there. And I go on, and on Adult Friend Finder at the time, it's still today, you can go to see who's viewed your profile. So if I view your profile, you could go in and be like, oh, I have 32 views. And then you could go through and you'd see that my profile looked at your profile. I was also very respectful. I had my setting set up that if you're not looking for a single male, you didn't even come up on my feed. I never knew you existed. So if yours didn't say that you're looking for a single male, I would have no idea about you whatsoever. So that way I wasn't emailing, chicks that are, married couples that aren't looking for a single male, or, whatever it may be. I didn't want any drama. So one day I go through and I see this gorgeous woman, beautiful ass, and her profile pic was her kind of looking over her shoulder and taking a picture of her butt in the mirror. And I was like, oh. And I go and I check out the profile. I read that they're not looking for single men. I think she had even had it written in her in her description that that they weren't looking for single men. So I didn't think anything about it. I perved on her pics for a few minutes and then went about my business. Then the next day I go back on and she viewed my profile again. So I go back on and I view hers. She's like, oh, whatever. Now the third day in that she's viewed my profile, I decide I'm not going to go view hers again. I don't want to, I'm just kind of like, I'd had plenty of sex, so I was getting it all the time. I was just like, she's a married woman. I was just like, what? I'm just not going to view her profile. I see that she's viewed me, whatever. And the fourth day comes. I haven't viewed hers on the third day, so she doesn't see that I've viewed her, but then she viewed me again.
Interesting.
So I said, oh. And then I did the cheesiest thing I think I've ever done in my life. And it worked, by the way. I sent her an email on there. I said, hey, I just noticed that you noticed me, and I wanted to put you on notice that I noticed you too.
Definitely
The
sounds like
cheesiest
something.
fucking, oh my God, the cheesiest email. I sent it thinking there's no way this woman's ever gonna respond. Like she's just perving on pics just like I do. What's it matter? And she responded. And I was like, oh wow, this amazingly beautiful woman just responded to the cheesiest email that you could ever send. Maybe she has a sense of humor, whatever you want to look at. So we started corresponding through email on there. And she was married. They had an open relationship. Her husband had encouraged her to go out and see single men. He was trying to see some single females, but he was having a little bit of struggle. But she had a few regulars that she was seeing at the time. And I guess she was tired of one of them or something or other. I don't know exactly. So she was looking for someone new. She, in her email, she told me, she's like, yeah, she's like, I don't put on there that I'm looking for single men, because the moment that I do, she goes, I get a million emails, one right after another,
That makes sense.
over and over again. Like my friend had got my friend Lacey, you met, she was my best woman at our wedding. She had went on one time and changed my profile as a joke, that I was looking for single men. And I opened it up one day and I had like 80 emails of all these dudes wanting me to fuck them.
Yeah, it's happened so
So,
quickly.
it was so crazy. So I imagine that that happened to me. I imagine she was getting 10 times the amount of
Yeah,
emails.
oh, for sure.
Yeah. So she's like, I turn that part off so that I don't have that pressure. So her and I start chatting, and normally I'm not, I was getting enough sex that I didn't necessarily want to sit and chat with someone for a month before meeting them, because I didn't want to invest that much time in something that's just going to be fleeting anyway. But she came along at the most perfect time, because I was done with all of I was over the meaningless sex every night. I was like, I want a relationship. By the way, she came along at that time. I wasn't looking for that with her. She was married. I wasn't even remotely even looking to have any kind of relationship outside of sex with her.
You know, though, the universe works in such mysterious ways.
You're right. Because she came at a time when I was vulnerable and was looking for something different. And we started chatting. We had made plans for her to come over, and for us to, to hang out and have sex one night. About a week and a half into chatting, she had to back out. A few days later, we make plans again. She has to back out. She has kids. She was married, work, blah, blah. I got it. The only part, that she thought she was, making me angry because I was canceling dates with women to because she was planning on coming over. All of that, but none of that, was really even bothering me whatsoever.
Yeah, it gave you time to catch up on your shows.
By the way, it really did. It really did. Because, look, like I said, I'm a TV and movie junkie, and at that time, I had a VCR and a blank tape, and that's how I re and I had my VCR set on a timer, and it re would record my shows.
OMG.
It was shortly after that that I got my DVR and all of that, but at the time, I didn't have that.
That is so crazy.
So finally, we make the date. She's gonna come over, and we set it up. And I tell her, like, we've been talking for a month. I send him pictures and stuff back and forth. I'm like, the anticipation's already killing me. I said, when you come in, let's not sit here and beat around the bush for an hour and talk. I said, let's just start fucking. So she came in. I lured her to my apartment.
Whoa.
Yeah. So she comes in, and within 5 minutes, like, we started, like, I wanted to attack her right away, but I was like, oh, I still have to be somewhat of a gentleman. But I remember exactly what she was wearing, this pink tank top, black yoga pants, and a pair of, like, flip-flops. And she comes in, and within 5 minutes, I've slipped her yoga pants off, and I'm eating her pussy on my couch in the living room. And I had also told her, you'll have to forgive me. I'm very excited. And sometimes when I'm with a new woman for the first time, that first nut really isn't about you. That first nut might be gone in 5 minutes, maybe less. If I made 5 minutes, I'm going to be very proud of myself. So I'm like, I'll come. Let me just sit there. At the time, I smoked cigarettes. I was like, let me sit here, hit a cigarette, get a semi, and then it'll rise back up, and then we can go all night. By the way, with her, it didn't happen that way. I was a rock star. And then we sat there in my bed, and like I said, I thought I was going to be too excitable and everything, but I was a rock star. I knocked it out of the park that night with her. Maybe it was because I was too, she was so hot, and I was so excited for her to be there. I think the pressure made me not be able to come. Like, it took so
It did
long
the
for me to
reverse,
actually,
yeah.
yeah, it did the reverse of what it normally does, because I was so afraid to. By the way, I love that shirt. I love the orange of the
Why, thank
logo.
you.
Shirt looks great.
Thanks.
So then she had a good time. So her and I started talking pretty, and she became a regular. And out of nowhere, like, her and I both, and I'll tell you this quick story too. Her and I had we'd been seeing each other for a couple months. She was We'd even invited her husband over to have a threesome with us, because we had made a video and he had watched it and he loved it. But he was like, let's he wanted to come join us. So I was like, I don't have a problem. She's your wife, yeah, you can absolutely. Excuse me, sorry, just belched my guts up. She's like, so he comes over, and it was not. It wasn't ex as exciting for him as he thought it was going to be, and he tried to calm his nerves by tipping a bottle of vodka up, and I
Oh.
mean guzzling down half of this bottle of half of the bottle.
Yikes.
And then he got wasted. We go in to do the deed. And Holly, she was buzzed. She came, him and I are sitting in my living room, and then she comes out of my kitchen and just strips off her shirt and then takes down her pants. She's like, "Let's go." She was ready to go. So the three of us go into my bedroom. He can't get hard, so because he's, his anxiety's kind of getting to him. And I'm sure he performs just fine every other time. It was just in some
Yeah, it
way, it
happens.
happens to me. Happens to me. So, but me, I was gung ho. I had no hang ups. I was ready to do it. So we start going at it. And then he goes downstairs and goes and sits out in the car. And then we have, and Holly's a screamer. So Holly sometimes gets really loud. And my mistake was is that I left the window open, which was going right down into the car window where he was trying to get away from everything.
Oh, no.
So he was having more anxiety. Now, there's something super exciting about having sex and having to keep looking over your shoulder because you don't know if you're going to get stabbed at any time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it gives a little
And
extra exhilaration
yeah,
there.
so there was a little bit more, a little bit more excitement, but it was fun. But so after that, he like a week or so after that, he told her that he didn't love her the way that a husband is supposed to love a wife, and he had noticed her and mine's chemistry, and he told her that she should explore that. She didn't want to tell me that. She did not want to say, "Hey, my husband's telling me to leave him and come start a relationship with you," all this. She was just like, she didn't know how to navigate all this.
Right,
And
yeah.
then, but at the same time, she didn't want to stop coming over. And then her and I, out of nowhere, just we're sitting on my bed one day, and I've got one earbud in. She's got the other earbud in. And we're going through music on my MP3 player. And I start singing along to a song, and her and I, we have this moment as we're listening to this song. And both of us fell in love in that instance, but we didn't, neither one of us said anything. We just both had this
You
moment.
just knew it.
Just knew it. So much, in fact, that 7 years later, maybe 6 or 7 years later, her and I were driving down the road one night, and that song randomly came on my playlist. And it's dark, and she's a chatterbox, and we're sitting and talking as we're driving down the road. And as this song came on, I started to tell her, I was like, I always use, every time I hear this song, it's the benchmark for me. I was like, every time I hear it, I always come back to the moment where I know that's when I absolutely fell in love with you. Because we were listening to this song on my bed, and it always, every time I listen to this song, it always brings back that moment and those emotions. And we're driving down the road, and I'm expecting any kind of response from her, but it's just silent in the car. And I'm like,
Oh,
I'm just like, what? And I kind of look over, and she's bawling,
so I was just gonna,
tears
yeah.
rolling down her face. And she was like, her and I never discussed that that's when we had fallen in love,
Oh.
but she had the same moment. So her and I fell in love with each other at the same instance during
And
this
how
song.
far into was this relationship of yours that happened?
About four, maybe 4 or 5 months.
Now, isn't that so crazy? Because you went from knowing that you needed to change and wanting and hoping for it, and now all of a sudden, in such a way.
Not only wanting and hoping for it, but looking for it, like deeply looking for it, and then giving up.
Yeah.
I had given up. I was just like, you know what? I'm just one of those bachelors that's gonna be, having meaningless sex his whole life because I'm afraid
Oh,
to come
that
out of my
sounds
shell.
terrible that that's how you felt.
That's 100% how I felt and how I felt like my life was gonna end up. I
Oh,
felt like
man.
I was gonna be one of those sitcom uncles that comes over and, and is all, living his wild life the whole time.
Yeah, oh, man.
So that's where I was. And then
Yeah.
Holly came along. We fell in love. A few months later, she had already split up with her husband. He had moved out and got his own place, and I moved in with her.
Yeah.
So about 6 or 7 months into our relationship, she said, "Oh, she had got a message from a couple that she used to play with. So she was the third, the single female that would join in with this couple that kind of lived, nearby. And she'd got a message from them. They didn't know about me or anything like that. And she was like, "Would you be interested in playing with them?" She's like, "A full swap with all four of us." And I was like, "Well, yeah, that sounds great to me." It would have been so. I had, go ahead.
I was going to say, so had you ever experienced that before.
Yes, but not with a girlfriend, with one of the single females that I had played with on from AFF. I had went with her to play with another couple and swapped with them.
Got it.
I'd only but that had only happened the one time because I'm not bi. He didn't know that when when they set it all up, he thought I was going to be he thought he was going to get to blow me and I was going to blow him, and I wasn't into it at all.
Right.
Like, to the point when when it started to go down, he had made his move and I was like, dude, I'm not into that. I was like, like he reached out to grab my dick and I was like, dude, I'm sorry. No, I don't know. Because the girls were playing and him and I were just kind of standing next to each other and he was waiting. I don't know what she told him I was going to do,
Well, so I'm
but
going to
he.
interrupt for one second as a learning. As everybody's like listening to this, I think that this is where like the advancement of like group text messages and like communications and stuff have like really advanced into everybody sharing their
So
boundaries.
much.
Like I think that would have not happened to you had you had the opportunity to, number one, be more aware of like what was going on overall, but like to be able to communicate your point of view.
Yeah, but yeah, before going to their house, I had no communication with them whatsoever besides seeing a couple pictures of them. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll fuck her. That sounds great. So that I that but other than that, like I had had threesomes here and there, or threesomes when I was younger, but I'd always been the single male joining a couple. And then this girl that I was seeing on Adult Friend Finder, she had played with other couples, and one of them, like I said, they invited me. But it was Holly and mine's first time playing with anybody else. And it's a couple she felt comfortable with, played all the time, no condoms. It was so I was just like, oh, excuse me. So I was like, oh, let's go do it. They ended up giving us chlamydia, by the way.
He did?
The very first, yes, 100%. Yeah, they gave us chlamydia. And
Oh.
so Holly, I was afraid to tell her that I noticed a smell going on with her,
Yeah.
and I was afraid to say anything. And then I jerked off, and my semen was like all dark brown.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? And I was like, man, it's like that's kind of, and it was like congealed and dark brown. I was like, well, that's really weird. So I wait an hour or so, and I work another one out. And it's the same color, but it's not as congealed. So I, and Holly was having a bad smell going on. So I was just like, immediately when I saw the discoloration of my semen, I immediately messaged her. I was like, look, we got something. I was like,
I'm
we need
gonna
to go to the
interrupt you
doctor.
because like this is like so naive of me to even not know this, but like I know like with females things like change and shift, but I just never assumed that the same thing happened to a man. I have no idea why.
It's the first rea first kind of reaction that I had of anything like that whatsoever, and it was just, when I tell you it was brown, it looked like I had like hawked up lung butter,
That's
like
so nuts. I would have
it was
never known
crazy.
that.
So when I saw this, I'm like, oh, I freak out, and we go, and they give me the whole swab, and make me pee in a cup and all this stuff. They're like, oh, you got chlamydia, and they give me a shot and some medication. Holly, the same thing, and we cleared up and. I don't know, a week or however long it took. Fortunately, it was something minor like that, that we ended up getting. But we go, we play with them. Look, I'm a typical guy. I get there, you put a new naked chick in front of me. She's sexy. I'm ready to fuck. Holly's overdoing her thing. I'm gung ho. I don't notice that Holly the whole time is kind of feeling left out. Now she was playing with the other guy. She was playing with the girl, doing her thing, but she wanted me. And her and I started playing, and then first it was her and the girl, and then Holly and I, and then I went over to the woman, and then she went over to the other guy. But the whole time she was with the guy, she's kind of staring at me, and I'm in my own world, just all over it. And it was she wasn't jealous of the woman as far as that's my man, what are you doing? She was jealous, like, oh, I really want to fuck my man right now. Because we had only been together, like, it was
We're so
still, we'd been together
new.
for months, but it was still new. And it was just like, it was a different, like, our relationship was like, our relationship was a whirlwind. It was just different. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
And I'm sure for the
we,
both of you, it was different. Different for you and different for her because, she hadn't experienced much of what she experienced with you with prior,
We hadn't
from
experienced,
an
neither one of us had,
emotional standpoint.
that's it exactly. We hadn't experienced a connection of actual love that wasn't surrounded around lust the whole time. Ours was intended to be lustful, and it turned into love. So we had, neither one of us had actually experienced anything on that level. So it was still new to us, and we were still excited to, but when I say still, we're still excited to see each other. Like my favorite parts of our day are me kissing her hello, or goodbye in the morning, hello when she gets home, and those are my favorite moments, hello and goodbye, of giving her our kisses. It's something I never want to lose. But like, it was still so new. So afterwards, her and I had a discussion. She was like, how did you like it? I was like, oh, I had a great time. Well, she's like, yeah, I have mixed emotions about it. She's like, I had fun. She's like, I was just craving you the whole time. So we took time off after that. So we had our first couple swap, and then we took almost 2 years, I think, out of the lifestyle and just focused on each other. Like, got to know each other on a, like, we were living together, but we were still, when we first got into it all, we were all just still so new.
So let me ask you this question. So if you guys, so you guys took off 2 years from it, what did
2 years.
you guys do like personally with one another, like on the weekends and stuff?
So here's, and I say this to so many people, like, I love having conversations with new swingers, because I tell them about how mundane our lives were before we met our friends in the lifestyle. Like, there's no way, I'm 44 years, I just turned 44 a few days ago. Happy birthday to me.
It just so everybody knows, we are recording in February because I'm not sure
Yes.
what the air date is. So celebration.
So I'm 44 years old. I never expected to ha make new friends that I would consider lifelong friends. I'm an adult. I'm past all of that. I'm living my life, going to work, and everything. And that's what our lives were. She had a couple friends that she would go and, have a girls' night with every now and then. I would stay home on those nights. I didn't, like, at that point, like, I was, again, I get very content. I had my friends that I would go and watch UFC fights with, once or twice a month. And I stopped doing all that when I met Holly. Not because of Holly, not because of her in any way, but because I was content and
That
happy.
you just wanted a different place.
I was in a different place in my life. I had spent all this time doing all this other stuff. I craved for so long to have someone in my life that I didn't care to go out and do anything else. I was fine with her going out, and she could call me in the middle of the night, and I would come be her designated driver. Just let me know when you guys are done, and I'll come pick you up. So
Wait, hold
that's what.
on. I want to ask about this UFC thing because you've never in your life ever mentioned watching UFC. Is that something that you just did because your friends liked it or like you actively like it?
So I really enjoyed it, but like, I did some jujitsu when I was younger, so I understand some of the fighting, and I really, really enjoyed it. When I first met Holly, I would always, like, if you asked me what kind of sports I watched, I would say I only watch UFC and basketball. And at the time, I was all like, basketball, like, I watched, but I was, at the time, I was more like keeping up with teams and stuff like that. Now I'm more devoted to basketball than anything. I watch
I
basketball
don't
from
know that devoted is the right word for it, but we'll keep it really polite in that way.
bleed green. That's all I got to say. Bleed green. Go Celtics. But at the time, I watched a lot of UFC. I watched it like, I would watch pretty much every weekend. And then when they would have the pay-per-views, I would go to my friend's house. We would stay over there, drink all night, and watch UFC fights. And I would go home in the morning. So, and that's what I did. And then when I met Holly, those 2 years when we were getting to know each other, that was pretty much it. Like, we would go out to dinner, but our lives were us. We didn't go hang out with a bunch of different people or anything like that. We were, you would have thought we were a church couple without going to church.
Can't imagine that, but I mean, I guess I kind of can because I do. You are really homebody-ish, and I have the
But
same
I am.
mentality. So, like, I could totally see it. Like, Spencer's the one that's like needs to be on the go 24/7.
Yeah, Spencer, like I always say, like, what part of the reason we all get along is because Spencer and Holly are a lot alike, and you and I are a lot alike. Like, Spencer, he's like a pinball. He's bouncing off the walls everywhere he goes. Holly's the same way. She's like, I'm ready to go, 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 go. which is great. I need someone like that in my life. Otherwise, I'm going to sit at home every
Yeah,
weekend.
I need like balance of that in my life. Like I'm good with like I like that we've found our balance, I should say, because I feel like initially it was like well, off a little bit. And like I'm glad to know that like we're not so hectic all the time.
100%. There's still times that I feel like I have to pepper spray Holly, be like, no, we went out 3 weekends in a row. We don't need to go out again.
Right.
But like, I mean, certain times of the year that happens. Like
I
it's
know.
every single weekend.
Yes.
And you want to support your friends and you want to go and you're like, all right, I have this opportunity to go here and do this. It's just like, I want to go, but when do you make time? Like we have kids here, like Holly's kids, they're adults, but at the same time, like, we don't do anything with them.
Right.
We don't do anything with them because we're out with our friends every weekend.
Right. And they're
So
in, to
it's,
be fair, they're grown-ups too,
yeah,
so.
they're, yeah, they're, I think the youngest is 23,
Yeah.
24. So
Yeah.
yeah, no, they're adults. It's not about that, but it's
Yeah.
still our whole lives are surrounded around our swinger friends.
Yeah.
And I, as I was telling you before, like when I talk to new swingers, like, I have friends now, I have friends now that I never would have thought we could ever be friends. Like if I would have seen them out of the club or if I would have seen them somewhere, yeah, maybe it's fine and fun and passing. I'll fuck your wife. You can fuck mine. It might be fun tonight, but after that, who cares?
Yeah.
But we're in such, here in New England, excuse me, in New England, we're in such a large community that anytime you have an issue, something that's big going on in your life, you can reach out to these people nearby and they can come help you. Like just I do pest control, so I kill bugs and stuff like that for a living. So we had a friend, she took a picture and she put it in the group of a big giant hornet nest right outside of her
Oh,
kitchen window.
whoa.
I live 3 towns over. So I was like, you know, when I get home tonight, when I get home from work, I'll get in the car and I'll come and I'll remove it for you. So when I get there, they've got like $100 to give to me, and I'm just like, no. I was like, I'm happy to come by and help you out. You know, just,
Yeah.
this was nothing. It took me 15. The longest part was me driving here.
Yeah.
Then I had to put my bee suit on, knock down the nest,
The
bag it
bee
up,
suit
and
is fun. I'm just gonna
it's
say,
fun.
it's fun.
I found the other one, by the way. I have
You
a
did?
brand new cleaner. Yep, found it.
No,
So
I still do want to put that fucking thing on just to see what it's like.
opened up, just think about you naked underneath it, the veil over top, and opened up,
That's right.
showing your cleavage. I think it'd
That's
be
what I'm
great. I think
thinking, right? That would
it'd be a
be,
great photo shoot.
we do need to make it happen.
This summer.
Yeah.
So after 2 years of Holly and I getting, taking a break and getting to know each other. Great 2 years, but we were just kind of, mundane people. My birthday was coming up, and she asked me, she's like, so anything you want for your birthday? And jokingly, and by the way, it was a joke that I stole. It wasn't even my joke. So jokingly, I say to her, I was like, oh yeah, how about a threesome?
Well, that was a super fun recording. If you want to see what happens with this proposition of his for his birthday, tune in to next week, where we explore that and so much more of Jim's journey. I think that you'll learn a lot and just the evolution and where they end up in the lifestyle and where they currently are now, I think is a really great representation of what one should do while they're navigating the lifestyle, which is why I wanted him to be on this episode. Not episode, but as like a starring guest going forward, because he could bring a lot of insight and a lot of variables and just a lot of examples of what people go through on a daily and how we all learn and grow and navigate from them. So tune in until next time. Speak to you super soon. And then if you have a question, email me at nizzybender@outlook.com.
The Mizzy Bender Show, where no topic is off limits. Join the one and only Mizzy Bender as she talks everything sex, curiosities, fantasies, and more. Subscribe to our mailing list to receive the latest event listings and updates.